ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, which is entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Today's text is 12, yes? Okay. Katha Madhya Jushamanaha Priyas Tvam Avesha Mam Atmani Santam Ekam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Adhiyagyam Isham Yajasva Yogena Cha Karma Invan. So, who's speaking? Lord Nrisimhadev, yes. Prahlad spoke additional prayers after pacifying the Lord, and he said a few more words, and then now Lord Nrisimhadev is speaking to him, addressing Prahlad Maharaj directly, but speaking to us through Prahlad. Katha Madhya Jushamana Priyastvam Aveshamam Atmani Santamekam Sarveshu Bhuteshvadi Yogyamisham Yajasva Yogena Chakarma Hinvan. Katha Madhya Jushamana Priyastvam Aveshyamam Atmani Santamekam Sarveshu Bhuteshvari Yogyamisham Yajasva Yogena Chakarma Hinvan. Katha Madhya Jushamana Priyastvam Aveshyamam Atmani Santamekam Sarveshu Bhuteshvari Yogyamisham Yajasva Yogena Chakarma Hinvan. Sarveshu Bhuteshvari Vaishnavis. Vyajashamana Priyastvam Aveshyamam Atmani Santamekam Sarveshu Bhuteshvari Yogyamisham Yajasva yogena chakarma hinva. Katamariya shamana priyastvam. Aveshamam atmani santameka. Sarve shubhute shvari yogyamisham. Yajasva yogena chakarma. So, synonyms, kataha, messages or instructions. Madiyaha, given by me. Jushamanaha, always hearing or contemplating. Priyaha, extremely pleasing. Tvam, yourself. Avesha, being fully absorbed in. Mam, me. Atmani, within the core of your heart. Santam, existing. Ekam, one, the same Supreme Soul. Sarveshu, in all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Adiyogyam, the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. Isham, the Supreme Lord. Yajasva, worship. Yogena, by Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. Cha, also. Karma, fruitive activities. Hinvan, giving up. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, it does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the Supersoul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Please repeat. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the Supersoul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences, as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karma kanda is meant for the less intelligent man. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Kevala Visharabhanda. Both Karmakanda and Gyanakanda, fruitive activities and speculation about the Supreme Lord, are like pots of poison. One who is attracted to Karmakanda and Gyanakanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in Karmakanda or Gyanakanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, or cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Sharine. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Agyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshar Unvilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchako Paturubhya Shakripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's important to know that this is the Lord speaking, Lord of Sringadeva, because then the statements that he makes are not negotiable. They're not to be argued about or see how we can interpret them this way and that way. No. Since the Lord is the absolute truth, whatever he says is absolutely truthful. Absolutely correct. There's a popular saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But that's just a human misunderstanding. Yes, we may see that power in this world may corrupt some ordinary individual, but the absolute truth is incorruptible. So, absolute power does not corrupt, because Krishna is not corruptible. Not only is he absolutely powerful, but he's absolutely good, absolutely beneficial for everyone, absolutely munificent, absolutely merciful. He's absolute everything. So he's not in any danger of misusing his power. First of all, wherever and whenever Krishna applies his power, he's applying it to his own energy. It's not like he's using his power to try to overcome, you know, some dictator somewhere and then he's going to take over. He's already in control of everything. So wherever and whenever he applies his power, he's applying it to his own energy. So there's no question of being corrupted. Like right now, people are up in arms. They're just discovering, I mean, this has been known for decades, that NSA, the National Security Agency, practically spies on all of us continuously. And people are just discovering that, and they're in a tither about it. Oh my God, the government is spying on us. But the government says, we're doing it for your good. If we don't spy on all of your emails and your phone calls, then how can we track down the bad guys and stop them from doing bad things before they even do it? But because we know we're dealing with human beings like us, we don't trust them. We don't trust ourselves. We know how many mistakes we've made in our lives. We know how many more mistakes we're going to make in the future. We know how evil we can be at some times. Like they say, in former ages, the demons and the demigods lived on different planets. Then in the next age, they lived on the same planet. Then in the next age, they were born in the same family. But in Kali Yuga, they're born in the same body. So we don't trust ourselves, so obviously we're not going to trust each other. We know that what we're capable of. Just like yesterday, that incident in Santa Monica. It's not a surprise anymore. Every single day something like this is happening everywhere around the world. People around the world, they laugh when Americans become so, some guy shot 5 people. Hey, hello, in our neighborhood, you know, hundreds of people are dying every day. You know, you Americans are just figuring that out. Sometimes you're the ones that are killing us. So yesterday in Santa Monica, some young man went off. They say that the family moved into Santa Monica about 20 years ago. Then there was a divorce, mother and father. One son stayed with the father. The other son went with the mother. So yesterday, the son that went with the mother went back to the home, killed the father and his brother, set the house on fire, and then went all over Santa Monica shooting people, including when he went to Santa Monica College. So this is going on in Kali Yuga. People don't have control of their minds. We don't have control of our minds. And then the mind tells you to do something and you think this is the best thing that I've ever heard. Yes. I think God is speaking to me. Whatever I hear, that's God telling me what to do. But we say, if you hear, think you're hearing God, pick up the Bhagavad Gita and check to corroborate that what you're hearing inside is what God actually says. Here, God is telling you, think about me, give up fruits of activities, worship me. That we don't want to do. But if we hear God say, pick up a gun and go shoot your brother and your father, then I always joke about the Bhagavad Gita situation. Arjuna was crying, lamenting because he didn't want to kill his relatives. He didn't want to kill his cousin brothers and his grandfather and his guru. But nowadays that's easy for people to do. Kill my brother, my guru, sure. Where's the gun? I'll do it. No lamentation. Because we're nuts. Kali Yuga means the age where everybody is crazy. Prabhupada said that about a case in Calcutta where they brought in they called him the government examiner. He's like a government psychologist to examine the defendant to see if he was probably could be excused for being insane when he committed the murder. And so when the government examiner went back to the court, he told the judge, I've been examining people for many years, and in my opinion, more or less, everyone is crazy. So if you want to let him off for being crazy, you can do that. But in my opinion, more or less, everyone is crazy. So this is our situation. More or less, we're all crazy. And this is the movement for turning crazies into sane people. Prabhupada said hippies into happies. But turning crazies and lazies into sane personalities. That's what the Hare Krishna movement is meant for. So first of all, we have to allow it to work on ourselves. Because if we don't allow the Krishna conscious philosophy, the Krishna conscious lifestyle, to change our mentality, then we don't have any right preaching to anybody else. So we always have to look and see, how are we doing? Are we conquering over the demoniac side of our nature by chanting Hare Krishna, following these rective principles, associating with devotees? Or are we still holding on to that little Hiranyakashipu, little Hiranyaksha in the heart, little Putana? Don't laugh, it's a fact. Most women in Kali Yuga have their Putana side. What was Putana's business as a witch? Killing babies, up to and including she wanted to kill Krishna. But even before trying to kill Krishna, that was her daily business. Killing babies, sucking their blood, eating their flesh. Nowadays in Kali Yuga, they still do that. They kill the babies in the womb. You're fortunate if you're born. And then, you know, there's so many things I could mention that shouldn't be mentioned in the Bhagavatam class, but people are crazy. What they do with embryos after they're aborted, and, you know, there was one case that at least can be mentioned without being too gross. In China, probably a decade ago, there was a dim sum. If you know what dim sum is, it's these Chinese dumplings. They make these, like, flour wrappers, and then they stuff them with things, and then they boil it. So there was this dim sum shop, and all of a sudden there was this new item on the menu, and everybody was liking it. What is this? This tastes good. And it was discovered that they were using human cadavers. They couldn't find enough wild or domestic animals, so they were using dead human bodies and taking that meat and stuffing the dim sum. And when it was discovered, a few people were discussing, but some people were thinking, hey, it tastes good. Prabhupada said that once. He said if they realized how good human flesh tastes, they would all become cannibals practically. Because they don't care about killing their mother cow or any other animal. Majin Narayan sent me a YouTube video yesterday. I'm on his mailing list. And it's a young boy, probably about 5 years old, maybe no more than six. And I think it was in Spain or something because they're speaking Spanish, but they have English subtitles on the video. Italy? Yeah. You saw it? Yeah. So the young boy's sitting at the dining table and his mother's presenting a plate of something. He doesn't know what it is. So he asks, what is this? Yeah, I know. I'm going to tell the story. So he didn't know at first what it was. So he asked, what is it? So his mother told him it was octopus. So he was hesitant. He said, but octopus is an animal. And where is the head? The head has been cut off. The mother said, well, where is it? Well, the fisherman probably cut it. So he goes on his whole conversation with his mother. And, you know, he says, all the animals, I like them when they're standing. They shouldn't be killed. And so his mother said, you don't have to eat if you don't want it. Just eat the rice and the potatoes. And, you know, finally the mother starts crying because she's trying to feed meat to this young boy who is already so conscious. He realizes the animals have a right to live. Why are we killing them and eating them? So, you know, on the internet, everything becomes immediately a lot of feedback. And a lot of people are saying, oh boy, after seeing this, I'm going to become a vegetarian. But some people actually were angry. They were upset because it's making them think. They don't want to think. Our motto, taken from Prabhupada, it's not that we dreamt it up. If you search on the database, you'll see Prabhupada used this motto many times. Simple living, high thinking. But in today's society, people want complicated living, no thinking. They don't want to think. Because if any thoughtful person surveys what's on their plate, they don't want to eat an animal. Why would you want to kill a poor chicken or a cow? Or the little boy said that. Chicken, cow, they should live. Why should we kill them? I don't want to. And many times kids are put in this kind of confusing situation. That calf, that lamb, those little chicks that they used to play with all day, running around after them and playing with them, playing with the lamb, playing. Then all of a sudden it becomes dinner. So they become confused. Where's my little lamb friend? Oh, it's on the plate. Let's eat him. So people are confused. Demoniac. So the real test is, we say most people are innocent, and that's what fuels our preaching. The preaching is done by the Madhyam Adhikari, the devotee in the middle platform. There's the Kanishtha Adhikari, who simply sees the Lord on an altar, comes to the temple, bows down, puts a few dollars in the hundi, prays most likely for some benefit that they want for themselves, and then they leave. That's the beginning stage, the Kanishtha Adhikari. The Madhyam Adhikari sees four separate manifestations. Ishwari Tadadineshu, Balaseshu, Dushachacha, Prema, Maitri, Kripopeksha, Yakkaroti, Samajama. The Madhyam Adhikari sees the Lord and wants to worship the Lord. Then he sees the Lord's devotees, the Tadadina. Ishwara is the Lord. Tadadina means the Lord's devotees. And he wants to be friendly with them. If you live in a devotee community and you're unfriendly, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Prabhupada even said that. Prabhupada said, the master, Krishna, is friendly. He says, I'm the friend of everyone. I'm everyone's friend, Krishna says. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka bahesham. Suridam sarvabhutanam. I'm everybody's friend, Krishna says. So how can the servant be unfriendly? If the master is friendly, declares himself to be the friend of everyone, and you are his servant, how can you be unfriendly? So if you find yourself in an unfriendly mood, something is wrong and you should do something about it. Why are you unfriendly? What's wrong? Something is wrong. So the devotee sees God and he wants to worship God. Then he sees Tadadina, God's devotees, and he wants to be friendly with them. Balisheshu. Then he sees those are Balisha, those who are innocent, and he wants to preach to them and bring them into the devotee camp. So we see the vast majority of people out there as being innocent. And the test comes, though, when the devotees come and they chant or distribute prasadam, distribute Bhagavad Gita, other books. How do you react? That determines whether you're innocent or not. Innocent persons like our Bhakta Errol. I was asking him the other day how he came to Krishna consciousness. So he came to L.A. from Washington, D.C., and he was just here in L.A., and he met... who was that you met on this promenade, Errol? Who gave you the book? Yashadev gave him a book on the Santa Monica Promenade, Bhagavad Gita. And immediately he was attracted. He started reading it, and then he was sitting in Venice Beach reading Bhagavad Gita. Another devotee saw him and said, hey, that's Bhagavad Gita. And gave him an invitation to come to the Sunday feast, and he practically hasn't left since. He's here. So this is an innocent person. Whereas, Dvishatsusa, those who are Dvisha, those who are inimical, those who are envious of the Lord, when they get a chance, they become angry. Get out of here. Go get a job. Leave me alone. Like that. That's inimical people. And the envious people, we stay away from them. Or when the Harinam party goes by. I remember once we were on the promenade chanting. And, you know, they have some of these restaurants. They have outdoor seating. So this elderly woman, she must have been 80 years old. But so full of anger, she started yelling and screaming, get out of here. I just want to eat. Ah, that's demon. You know, demoniac. They don't want to hear the Hare Krishna mantra. So I told the devotees, don't worry. Once they react, it's too late. The mantra's gone in the ear, and they're benefited by it, in spite of their being inimical. They've benefited by... Yes, Sebastian. Please, no, please, just take care of this. Don't make a scene. I know, but I will speak to you. But Sebastian, they're waiting to speak to you. Sebastian, you and I have a fairly good relationship. Please just go outside. Take care of it. Thank you. So, as I was saying, this is Kali Yuga. And it's just like when you watch the weather report and you hear that it's going to rain tomorrow. What do? You make adjustments in your life. You get a raincoat, you get an umbrella. So if we understand the symptoms of the Kali Yuga, that people are always disturbed. They're lazy, they're quarrelsome, ignorant. So we have to be prepared. You can't be surprised. You can't be surprised. Constantly we're having these kind of people. It's nice that they have some attraction for Krishna. They even chant sometimes, but they're obviously disturbed. They're obviously disturbed. So we have to be very careful. Prabhupada said way back in the 70s that right here in this temple, he said, you do not take security seriously enough. You do not take security seriously enough. And that was back in the 70s when things weren't as half as bad as they are now. I first came here in 75 from New York. And, you know, it was practically like a bucolic town at that time, this area. It was so slow moving compared to nowadays. So Prabhupada said, you don't take security seriously enough. He said, there have to be some of you who are security minded. Security, he said, means guns and sticks. Doesn't mean that we should all run out now and buy a gun and get a, you know, no, but at least some segment of the population has to be trained up in the art of protection. It's Kali Yuga. In every yuga, the Kshatriyas are there. That's what Kshatriyas are meant for. Kshatriya means one who gives protection from harm. So some segment of the population has to be trained up in that art. Now, we were pretty fortunate back in the 70s that there were some devotees who were so trained and always willing to put their life on the line to protect the other devotees. I remember once in the temple room here, this really huge guy, this guy was way over 6 feet tall. He was like really big guy. And he was causing a disturbance. And Karandar Prabhu, the proper disciples know him, some of you may not know who he is. We just had a ceremony the other day for his brother Keshava, who passed away. So Karandar, he wasn't that tall. He was shorter than me. I'm 5'10", and Karandar was shorter than me. He is shorter than me. He's still alive. But he was a very tough guy, and he just walked up to this big guy and just clocked him once, knocked him down, dragged him out. So we need that. It's a necessity in Kali Yuga. Some of the devotees have to be trained in how to protect the other devotees. It's just a necessity. So in the absence of that, we don't have any full-time security here. We don't have any chokidars. So all of us have to more or less be careful and watch out. Don't just be oblivious to what's going on. Like yesterday, I was just looking out my window from my apartment, and there was a guy sitting on the steps here, obviously, you know, creating a disturbance. So I was just getting ready to come over, but then I noticed there's this young man who's just coming for a few weeks now. Ia is his name, right? He sits and does the Maha table at night. You know him. Hispanic young man from downtown. So I saw that he came out and he spoke to the guy, and the guy left. So you have to be like that. I mean, don't put yourself at risk. I'm not asking the Matajis to, you know, go grab some guy and drag him out. But you have to be at least aware of what's going on. If somebody's causing a disturbance and you can't do anything about it, at least get some other devotee who can do something or call the police or something. We cannot be oblivious because the deities are there. And, you know, we have to protect the deities. That's the number one necessity is on our consciousness is to protect the deities. I was here for a Sunday feast once, and ordinary looking guy, you know, male, Caucasian, looked like just average young man. He came in, he stood in front of the altar, he was watching intently. I was thinking, huh, this because I've never seen him before. It looks like, wow, he's so attractive. And then when in a split second, he got up on the altar. So fortunately, I was close enough to grab him and drag him off. But people are crazy. They're disturbed. They're quarrelsome. They're lazy. So you have to know that. These are the symptoms of Kali Yuga. We are coming out of that. So we know. It's a fact. It's not just something written in the scriptures. Quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and always disturbed. That verse says, Payana payasa sabya kalo asmin yugajana manda sumanda mate yamanda bhagya yopadrita. Always disturbed. So when somebody's always disturbed, they can create a disturbance at any moment. So we have to be very, very cautious, very, very alert. You can't walk around half asleep, you know, like we chant our japa sometimes, you know. And you don't even realize you finished your japa because you're just walking around in circles mumbling and not like that. Not like that. I remember in New York, there was a devotee. I don't want to embarrass him by giving his name, but he was in charge, just like Ratna's here. Ratna goes to the market early morning many times, like two or three times a week, right while we were at Mangalartiki's downtown shopping for Boga. So this devotee in New York, that was his one of his services. He would be the one that would go to the Boga market in the Bronx from Brooklyn. And he confessed to me that several times he really didn't know how he got there and got back. In other words, driving asleep. Sleep driving to the market and sleep driving on the way back. So we should guard against this sleepy activity. We have to jeev jaga, we have to be awake when we chant, awake when we engage in our service, awake and alert when we move around the community, because again, people are always ready. We're an easy target. Hare Krishna temples have been attacked several times. This temple has been attacked. Other temples have been attacked. So you have to be alert. And devotees have been attacked individually and collectively. All around the world, not just here in America. So we have to be alert. Please be alert. You know, any moment anybody can go off. Again, you don't have to put your life at risk, but at least if you're alert, you can call the police or get somebody else to help. Okay? And as Lord Nrisimhadeva is saying in this verse to Prahlad, don't forget me. Give up fruits of activities, just worship me. That's the real goal of life. And if we can do that, then we'll be safe. We'll go back to Godhead. Stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. What is Gyanakanda? Gyanakanda means philosophical speculation to find the absolute truth. In other words, the karmis are just on the gross level. They simply want to eat nicely, sleep nicely, have everything nice on the gross level. But that doesn't satisfy the soul. We're not this body. So no matter how much you try to gratify the body, you're not satisfied. So when the soul is a little bit more elevated, then they want to search out, well, there must be something else, something beyond. And by philosophical speculation, they try to figure it out. But Krishna tells, I think he's speaking to Uddhava at that point, in the 11th canto anyway, there's a verse where Krishna says that by mental speculation, you can come to the level of Brahman understanding. You can understand that there's a spiritual reality beyond the material existence. But you can't go beyond that to Paramatma and Bhagavan by speculation. To get Paramatma realization, and what to speak of Bhagavan realization, you need to take to a process of being taught by somebody. In other words, you can't figure it out by ascending knowledge. This is the current scientific approach also. Today we know this much, tomorrow we add some more, and by our ascending knowledge we'll one day figure everything out. No, it's not going to happen. The real knowledge, or the conclusive knowledge of everything that exists, of the absolute truth, has to come down. It descends from the absolute truth himself through the cyclic succession, and that way you can know. So philosophical speculation, jnana, kanda, doesn't get you to the ultimate goal. Anything else? Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.